Off the Ball
Rugby.
Now, it's very easy to look into after defeat and say, oh, that doesn't look well. Oh, that's not right. There's something wrong the camp there when your captain goes and spoils and gets himself a ridiculous yellow card. Or when your captain turns around and shouts at the head apps, take the three. Do what I tell you, take the three.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Horse racing
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, giving this year's Cheltenham Festival an epic boost. Download the app. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
It's the Racing Pod Cheltenham special, and it's John Duggan joining us as ever from the course, and we're also today going to be joined by Don McLean, who's been enjoying Cheltenham. Tom Bugsy Malone has been sacked because he was late 2 days in a row. No, he wasn't. Thanks, Tom, for coming in. We've had so much crack over the last 2 days. And just to note, Don was actually, he was the arranged guest for day three and day four. And actually, we'll go straight over to you, Don McLean. I'm looking at the field sizes again today. I'm just after doing a preview elsewhere for Friday, massive fields again, very, very tough races. How have the 2 days been for you? Because it's looked magic from afar.
Yeah, no, it's been great, Johnny. You're absolutely right. There's been a sense of, I don't know, Cheltenham of old, you know, big fields.
Exactly.
Big crowds. Like the roar before the Supreme Novices hurdle was fantastic. Like there was a roar when the starter said, or the commentator said, they're coming into line, or they're coming on, out onto the course, and then again when they went off, and then when Lossie Mouth won the champion hurdle, like that was incredible. I think Paul Tannen said he hadn't had a reception like it before. So there's a fullness about it. There's a, I don't know why it is. You know, obviously the changes that have been made to the festival, they've helped the emission of the 2.5 mile novices chase. So that's kind of bolstered some of the fields, increased the level of competition. And also, you know, there were four British winners on the first day and three Irish winners. So that's kind of new as well. The British trainers and British punters, they're kind of, that's up a little bit. I mean, it's 8-6 now. But yeah, no, I think there's a fullness about the festival this year that's really good.
JD, I messaged Matt Chapman last night because he hadn't been in the news not that long ago, and I spoke about him on another podcast about the job he does in racing, and he sent me, never messaged me before, he sent me a lovely message, so I had his number, and I feel the role he does in interviewing the beaten jockeys is, I would say if there are 50 members of the Irish Racing, whatever there are, 20 to 50 members of the Irish Racing Journalists WhatsApp group, nobody would want to do that, including me. Nobody would want to talk to jockeys who have had bad beats, who have finished second, and certainly not if you're talking to the guys who've run in the novice hurdle yesterday. And the incident at the start involving Declan Queely and Nico de Boinville, you spoke extensively about it with Owen last night, but if we didn't hear you then, what was your take on it and what was the reaction over there? Because this was extraordinary stuff.
Well, it's all people are talking about, to be honest, this morning, guys, and I don't know if that's representative of the general view. Look, I think it went from a spicy story to a serious story, given that Declan Quigley's now made a complaint. And I was down there for the first race, the Turner's Novices Hurdle. I was down at the chute, you know, where the horses go out onto the track and when they come in with the stable staff. I was just down there to get a view of them. And what we don't see on television is how big they are. These are really, really big horses, big animals, you know, and they go so fast. And like, you wouldn't want to be walking too close to them, to be honest, unless you knew what you were doing. Therefore, there's a lot of tension in the air. It's Cheltenham, it's day one, and then day two yesterday. And jockeys are on edge. There's obviously been a bit of a disconnect and probably maybe a different way of doing things in Ireland to England when it comes to the starts. But there just doesn't seem to be a connection and a solution around the starts, right? So therefore, there is verbals, there's a bit of hassle. This has happened to race courses for years, okay? And Matt Chapman does his job for ITV, the broadcaster here. And you're thinking, okay, a lot of these, as you say, interviews are, well, I didn't run well, or it's like literally three words. And then Declan Queely gave more than we expected. Talking about being abused by Nico de Boinville.
And he also gave more, I should mention, because Matt like did go in for a second question on something where and the jockeys, they're literally racing into the weighing room. They want to get out the way. Matt went back, and he went back with Nico de Boinville. And this is what Declan said then, as you were saying.
Yeah, and Declan said that, and that it was horrific. And then Nico de Boinville obviously you know, deserves his right of reply and just said, well, maybe Declan should look in the mirror. And you're thinking, okay, this is a bit spicy. This happens a lot of race courses. This happens in sport. There's verbals. We all get into the dressing room afterwards. And in racing, you actually do share the dressing room. And then it's a cup of tea and it's all the temperature is brought down. The temperature then went to a different place with Declan Queedy then speaking to the Racing Post later in the day. And then that became the front page story on the industry newspaper last night, where he said, I was boxing for my position down the inside. There was a lot of general bunching going on. It was competitive down there. I got repeated racial abuse from Nico de Boinville when I was coming in around the corner. Then he called me XYZ, like verbal, you know, expletives in front of the ITV camera. So that's what he said to the Racing Post. And he added, I just didn't talk back to him. Thankfully, I didn't open my mouth. He tried to single me out as if I was the one causing the hassle. When he was shouting, he was picking on me when trying to hold his position. A complaint was made to the stewards. They didn't detail the complaint. They said they heard evidence from the jockeys and they've adjourned the matter to obtain further evidence. Queedy was suspended for one day for misconduct at the start in terms of the riding arrangements there. Like the Telegraph this morning, Johnny and Don reported on this as well. And it is a back page story now in the UK Times of their sports section. It is not only just a racing story now, but a sports story in the English newspapers. And what the Telegraph reported was, insiders of the race course on Wednesday night questioned such incendiary claims. One friend of Nico de Boinville dismissed suggestions he had said any sort of racist comment. And obviously, we need to hear from Nico de Boinville. I'm sure we will in due course. And obviously, until this kind of progresses as a story, you know, everybody's entitled to their good name. But it's, I think, as I said, it's gone from, as what Ruby Walsh was describing the incidents at the start, as fun and games in the television and a spicy incident, to my mind now is what's become a serious incident in terms of the coverage of it. And now that's something that's going pretty viral, I would say.
And the Telegraph then going down that angle with it even adds to the kind of the sense of the story and the slight, like, you know, Irish versus British element to it that is central to it ultimately, or central to the allegations. And it's important, Don, here, I don't know Nicky de Boinville and I want to hear the full story here. I genuinely want to hear his side of events. And we've heard some of Declan Queeley's side of events, but extraordinary stuff, Don, on day two.
Yeah, like, It's bananas the way it's kind of this has escalated, Johnny. Like at the time, it was a start that was it was a mess to start. Like, and Ruby Walsh is right when he says, you know, his idea for a start is correct. I think that you can, you know, move the horses along because it's National Hunt Racing, Johnny. There are no stalls. In flat racing, they all go into stalls. In National Hunt Racing, they don't. They all line up at a flag.
You cannot have them standing there. You just cannot have starts like this, in my view.
Well, they had two false starts, and the rule then is, as I understand it in Britain, that once you have two false starts, it has to be a standing start, and that's in nobody's interest. You know, if you have, if you have two false starts with a kind of a supposed to be a rolling start, as we understand it, and if that doesn't work, then why not? You know, it works most of the time. So just because it doesn't work twice in a row, why do you go to a less preferable option, which is a standing start? It's a lottery because horses, they're animals. They're having a look. The tape goes up, and you know that some of them don't get away on terms with others. And sometimes horses who like to be handy, who like to lead, their race is gone at the start because it's an unsatisfactory start. But there, as John was saying, tempers are frayed. Everyone's literally jockeying for position. Declan Queeley was in a position. Nico de Boinville, as I understood it, wanted that position. And then there were words exchanged. And then, yeah, exactly with Matt Chapman. Like, Matt Chapman, he asked them all on the coming in. How was it? And then just with Declan Queeley, he was on his way in the door. And Matt Chapman just said, and, you know, at the start, a bit shambolic or whatever he said. And then Declan stopped and said, you know, about Nico de Boinville. So, like, you can understand why Declan Queeley's upset. And Ruby Walsh and AP McCoy, they both said Declan Queeley did nothing. As far as they could see, everybody wants a position. Declan Queeley was as entitled to have that position as Nico de Boinville was to have that position. And yeah, then it all kicked off.
We love a bit of rivalry between the old imperial power in Ireland. Now, and in fairness, Cheltenham is just magic because, like, everyone gets on and all that. But it's just been an interesting story that nobody expected to happen on day two. Overall, Don, the 2 days, how have they been for you so far?
Yeah, good. Like, great racing, Johnny. Managed to bag plenty of losers, but one or two winners as well.
That's so, okay.
It's a one-all draw at halftime, I'd say, against the wind.
Well, this is a four-quarters game, Don.
It is. But look, the rate, you know, it's been like Cheltenham, as you say, it always delivers. We had the you know, the loss he had all these years. Will she, won't she go for the champion hurdle? She didn't. She missed it. She won the mare's hurdle. And then this year went for the champion hurdle and won it doing handsprings. Paul Townend choosing King Rasco Grey yesterday. The market didn't take account of that. They sent him off an 11-1 shot and he went and won. Majborough, it just unraveled for him, didn't it? Like he's such a talent, he's such a powerhouse. But and for the first four or five fences, it looked to be going so well. They made a little bit of a mistake at the middle fence down the back straight. Then he made another mistake, and the mistake he made at the third last fence, it was pretty much identical to the one he made at the second last in the Arca last year. He just hit the fence halfway up, landed back legs, lost his back legs, and then his race was over. But masterful ride again by Paul Townend to get Elé Tait Tom to ride him as patiently as that, to trust his own ability, his own judgment of pace, and his horse's ability to be able to reel in the leaders. I mean, he said afterwards he couldn't go the pace, but there's more than that. It's more, you know, having the confidence and I suppose the trust in your horse that you can sit so far off and then deliver him to win emphatically in the end.
Yeah, he's becoming a bit of an enigma on something stronger than you know, a painkiller at the moment. Majborough, JD, for me this race was a bit of a mess at the start. He was rushed up to get to a prominent position, and I'd imagine, and I'm not looking at figures here, but I imagine the pace that he was going yesterday relative to Leopardstown was completely different. And we had a bit of banter about Tony McCoy saying go out hammer and tongs and all that. This race was, for me, as much as after, as Don says, after four fences, you're kind of happy. For me, he had worked a bit at that stage, and boy, did his jumping fall apart again.
Well, William Mullins said to me after the race, lads, that he felt they were going way too fast. And he was thinking that, well, if Elé Tait Tom is having to work to stay in touch here, then he goes, well, no, Paul Townend, that they are going too fast. And it's just a case of being patient and holding your fire until the race falls apart in front of you. And it did. And like we saw with Lulamba and Copac de Bord on Tuesday, it is national hunt racing. It is jumps racing. You have to jump the fences. And Mashworth, throughout his whole career, as talented as he is over fences, made mistakes. Like if you ever go to a racing post and you type in a name of a horse and you just see a mistake or not fluent, I always kind of think it's a negative. And as much talent as Mashworth might have, and much of an engine, and maybe the ground is too quick for him, maybe it might have been easier out of softer ground, but just feel that you can't make mistakes in championship races at that pace and get away with it. Quebec de Bord made, I would say, I know he ballooned one the other day, but he made one mistake and he's gone, and that was his chance gone. So, look, Elé Tait Tom has won a lot of grade one races, won at Aintree, has won at Sandown, won at Punchestown, won the Tingle Creek, won at the big trials, so deserved it, I felt, yesterday. But I thought the biggest story yesterday, apart from Willie's dominance in the controversy, was Colin Keane, to be honest. That was just such a beautiful story. The first time I've seen the tricolour in the winner's enclosure quite a lot. Wild lads.
Yeah, it was mad. And he got engaged on Tuesday, so what a week.
Yeah, I mean, you're riding an Irish Derby winner a few years ago, and you're like, you're riding for Judmont here. You're going to the Breeders' Cup and winning there, and then you go to Cheltenham, and it's almost like it's like the A-team. The plan came together. Noel Mead from Mead as well, with Colin and Phil Potty, the owner. And like it was a real great feeling, and the winners, the roars out of the lads associated with the ownership, and
apparently
all wearing the damn scarves.
They told me that the horse would win a few weeks ago or something. This has been lost in my memory.
They came up to me and goes, you know, Johnny Ward, can't really do the Northern accent very well, but Johnny Ward, we told him, you know, we told him he was going to win the Morn Rambler, and like he was whatever price he was, he's 7.5-1 returned. And Nomi can still train. 26 years after Sausalito Bay, gave him a long away to the Cheltenham winner. He's back in the winner's enclosure, and it's just it was a nice story. I felt ran off the day.
And the ride, John, that he gave him, Colin, it was like he's riding at Cheltenham every Saturday afternoon. He just sat in behind, and to have I know top class jockey in America in a Breeders' Cup, top class jockey at Ascot, top class jockey at the Curragh, you're a top class jockey, but to have that judgment of pace, to sit out the back, like he was pretty much near last and first on the run down the hill with three furlongs to run, and he just angled him out and kicked him on. And you could see how much it meant to Colin Keane. Like, fantastic. And, you know, we've had lots of flat jackies along the way trying to win the Cheltenham Bumper. It's a flat race after all.
Yeah.
Jamie Spencer did it. Lots of others tried and came up short. But, as you say, John, brilliant, brilliant day.
Magic stuff.
He said it was like the Topaz Mile, lads. That's what he said it was like in Galway.
Would have meant right or left-handed as opposed to right-handed.
Would have meant a lot to his dad, Jerry, as well, like such a national hunt background. JD, just before we get to you, actually, don't forget... we are available wherever you get your pods daily at 10:30 a.m. And I know Cheltenham is just like, it's manic in terms of all the offerings that you can get on air and all that. But we appreciate all the listens we've had, and it's been really popular this week, and we're delighted with that. JD, conditions and market moves on day three.
Yeah, conditions very, very windy, lads. Like, gusts up to 40 to 45 miles an hour, and they watered the course overnight because it was getting quick yesterday, 3 to 5 millimetres. But there is rain expected. But, like, Cheltenham almost has its own microclimate. It's been a bit of a bowl. So sometimes, oh, it's going to rain, and then it doesn't. And then sometimes you don't think it's going to rain, and then there's a deluge. And I would be a little bit worried if it did rain now into racing on watered ground. It would make it quite testing, even though it was good yesterday. It can be a strange environment that way. But we'll have to see. I think they're thinking that the rain's going to come more throughout later this evening and into tomorrow, and then have a dry day for Gold Cup day on Friday, but obviously softened ground and should actually make beautiful ground for the Gold Cup. In terms of market moves, we'll go through the races in order. 120 here, the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, Bambino Fever, Solid and Even Money, Old School Outlaw drifting out to 11 to 2. Money for Carrick, Moorna Spruce. Wouldn't that be a win for Declan Queeley, 8 to 1? That'd be fun if that horse won. Money for Bigger Odds for Manganese at 25 to 1, Full of Life at 28. The Jack Richards Novices Handicap Chase at 2 o'clock. Jordan's Cross, Solid 4 to 1 favourite. Regent Strolls 5 to 1, Slate Steel 7s also attracting support. Meet me by the Sea as a Drifter out to 7s. Money for the Blues Man at 10s. Money for Kisswell at 11s. Money for K de Saint Frey at 18 to 1. The Mayor's Hurdle, the Grade 1. Wadu is drifting now out to 11 to 10 favourite. Gordon Elliott yet to have a winner here at the festival this week. Jay de Grugy for Willie and Paul. Support into 2 to 1. Bit of a nibble on Feet of the Dancer at 9 to 1 for Paul Nolan. The Stairs Hurdle, the Grade 1 at 3.20. Tiupu out to 7 to 2 favourite. The Cabral de Mathan also a drifter to 9 to 2. Bob Ollinger is friendless, 15 to 2 last year's winner. Money for Impose Trois in the JB McManus colours for 15 to 2 now. Honesty Policy also solid about 8 to 1. When we're talking about the Ryanair Chase, the other Grade 1, Factophile drifting to even money favourite. John Bond 4 to 1 money for that in the same colours, the green and gold. Support for Imperi Pass into 5s. Banbridge a drifter out to 7s. The Pretemps Handicap Hurdle at 4.40. Supremely West, the favourite drifting out to 4 to 1. Money for Bold Endeavour at 7s and Say Different at 7s as well. Money for Absolutely Doyen at 11s. Money for Kickajoe at 14s. Yeah Man for Gavin Cromwell also attracting a bit of a nibble at 20 to 1. Cornerstone Walsh rides him again. Kim Muir Chase, the last lads, 5.20. Jericho de Repenay drifts out to 4 to 1 favourite. Money for Waterford Whispers into 4s. Money for Kim Rock into 6s. Jericho Rock and Road to Home supported into 14 to 1. Patrick Mullins has never had the winner of this race, desperately wants to win it. And also money for King's Threshold with Harry Swan riding at 20s.
Lovely stuff, Jiddy. We're going to go over to you, Don McLean, for the 3.20. This is the Stairs Hurdle, the feature of day three. Ballyburn has a hood on for the first time, strong enough in the wagering, and checking the William Hill odds here, 7 to 1. He's one horse I cannot have on my mind today. And the drift of Tiupu, Don, we've a 10-horse race now. It seems to happen every year that he's drifting. He could very, very feasibly be an E-Trade price. He may not even go off favourite.
Yeah, like he's a perennial here in this race, John, isn't he, Tiupu? He's won one of them, he's finished placing the other two. And I suppose he could have won two or three of them as well at this stage if the ball had hopped a wee bit more kindly for him. But he's had a slightly different preparation this year. He ran in the Christmas Hurdle at Leopardstown. He won it impressively, beat Bob Ollinger in that. That was Bob Ollinger's first run of the season. And he probably ran a bit better. He definitely ran better than I expected him to. He's back for more. He was a 10-year-old when he won the race last year. He's now 11. Before Sir de Burley won this race 2 years ago as an 11-year-old, you have to go back to Crimson Embers back in the 80s to find the last horse aged older than 10 or older than 9 actually to win it. Sir de Burley won it a couple of years ago as 11. Bob Ollinger won it last year at 10. He's back as an 11-year-old. The fact the rain has stayed away will be a positive for Bob Ollinger. He loves good ground. He was given a brilliant ride last year by Rachel Blackmore. He just delivered him and used his turn of foot at the end of 3 miles. I thought he was a doubtful stare going into the race, but he saw it out well, even though it wasn't a sedate enough pace last year. But look, he's back again. Cabral de Mathan, he's been thrown into it. Dan Skelton said in the early part of the season that he wasn't going to go for the Stairs Hurdle. Now he is. He has to prove his stamina. He won really impressively over 2.5 miles the last day on New Year's Day here. So he's a big player in the race. And Mashan too. I like Mashan too. He's got a lot to find on ratings, but he's a Cheltenham horse. He disappointed at Haydock a couple of runs ago, but he bounced back at Cheltenham. And then last time in a Grade 2 race, he was really good in winning that. He beat Impose Trois in that race. And to me, that was a kind of a coming of age for Mashan too. He's He's trained by Emma Lavelle, who did this with Paisley Park a couple of years ago. He progressed through the handicap route as well.
Is he a bit too slow, Don? Is that a stupid thing to say? Is he too slow to win this renewal today on this ground?
I don't think he's slow at all, Johnny. Like, I thought the last day he put a lot of things to bed. It was soft ground the last day. All his best form had been on better ground. He won. They went a sedate pace. He quickened up off it. And to be able to come seven lengths clear of Ampost 12 like he did, his closing sections were really good. So, and even after that, Ampost 12 was kind of, they were kind of going, maybe he'd go for the, not running the race, go for the pretemps instead. But he's running in the race. So I thought it was a massive performance. He still has £10 to find with the top rated horses. So he still has to improve again, but he's only seven. I think he does every chance he can make that step.
It's an intriguing race, JD.
It is, and it's my most unlucky race of Cheltenham history. I don't think I've ever had the winner of it. So I am the Jonah. I am the hex on this stairs hurdle.
Don't let that get into your head, though. Let's find the winner.
I like maybe Honesty Policy as a lightly raced horse there who won at Aintree last year, then went to Punchestown and showed that he had a bit of ability over the distance, has reappeared in the Long Walk hurdle. Gordon Elliott trains him. He's a six-year-old. Look, Bob Ollinger was great last year in the race, got one of the Rachel Blackmore's best ever rides. Baddy Byrne, I think Willie Mullins would maybe want softer ground for him, but he does say to me in the interview yesterday that he is definitely happier with his form than he has been in a while.
He was one of the most impressive
Cheltenham winners in the last few years, Baddy Byrne in the 2.5 miles. So just the way with Whitty's horses are running this week now, I mean, you can't discount him. But at a tentative selection, about 8-1, Honesty Policy for me.
So I've JD, we've a mutual friend who very, very sneakily did a double. Lossie Mout to win the champion hurdle and Jay DeGrugy to win the mare is one of these beautiful related bets that the bookies will lay at around about 40-1 in January, I think, on the basis that just let's hope Lossie Mout goes to the race. It's worked out absolutely beautifully so far. The wagering, as you mentioned, bringing Jay DeGrugy and Woodo much, much closer together in the mare's hurdle. Unfortunately, only the seven runners, but no Lossie Mouth here. I still really like Woodo. Slight doubt about the Gordon Elliott form, but she you know, they were saying the same last year and she delivered. Even money will do me.
Yeah, I mean, she's rock solid and she won the Martin Pipelayer last year at the festival, course and distance winner. I like Jay DeGrugy as a horse. I kind of like her attitude and look, she's been going chasing. She's back over hurdles now with Chased Home Lossie Mouth in it last year. It's just how you assess the market. I mean, Gordon Elliott, I mean, Brighter Days Ahead ran well. Favre de Champtu ran well, but they both didn't win. A lot of the other horses, I mean, the Yellow Clay might have been a contender for the handicap hurdle if he hadn't fallen. But a lot of the other horses have run, maybe disappointingly, Romeo Puglio, you know, didn't really seem to go a yard in the novices chase. And look, until they win one, you'd be more confident. But then, you know, when Woodhoo does win, then you go, oh, I wish I'd back Woodhoo. So you're in a bit of a, like, it's hard to see one of the others winning it. Is it maybe take no chances, might have a chance. But to me, it's a race to watch.
Really likable horse, Woodhoo, Don McLean.
She's a super mare, Johnny. She's won 9 of her 10 hurdle races. Her only defeat was in the entry hurdle last April at the hands of Lossie Mouth. And I just thought this year she's won ugly, if you like. She's kind of come under a ride early on at Ascot and stayed on really strongly in the last day at Leopardstown as well when Fita Vidanza put it up to her. But she stayed on really well. She never looked like she wasn't going to win. And that's just her. She just keeps on winning. She's got form at the track as well. As you said, she won the Martin Pipe Hurdle last year, last race on the last day last year, and she was brilliant in winning it. Okay, that's a handicap. But she's proven that she can step up in grade. The defection of Lossie Mout from the race, that was massive for Woodhoo fans and Woodhoo followers and Woodhoo connections. And she's the one they have to beat. Jay DeGrugy is an interesting inclusion. She's been jumping fences of late and back over hurdles now. And that was always the kind of vibe that if Lossie Mout was going to go for the champion hurdle, then Jay DeGrugy would come here, revert back to hurdles. So that's a bit of an unknown. Having been jumping fences, she is back over hurdles now. Fita Vidanza, like, she's just she's such a likable mare as well, like Paul Nolan's mare. She's kind of fallen between two stools a little bit. Like, she ran a big race in the pretemps final last year when she finished fourth. She was held up in the field that day. They didn't go a great pace. She did well to get as close as she got from the rear. And this year, she looks like a better horse. She won the Covega hurdle in the early part of this season and over 2.25 miles, which is too short for her, really. Then she was good at Doncaster the last time she won the Grade 2 mares hurdle there. Paul Nolan actually brought two horses over. He brought the Devil You Know over as well, and he won the River Don hurdle on the same day. So a feel of a dancer. She's probably a 3 mile mare, really, and definitely over 2.5. She'd probably want the ground to be a bit softer than it is. The Carroll Cup was an option, but it's a handicap. She might have had a big weight in that. That's 2.5. The Stairs hurdle was an option as well. That's 3 miles, but then she's taking on the geldings and not getting any. Well, she's getting the mare's allowance, but it still left her about a stone short of what was required. So she still has £10 to find, or thereabouts at Woodhoo. And it's hard to see how she's going to find them. Like, she was beaten by Woodhoo at Leopardstown. You can see her running a big race and maybe finishing second. But no, I think Woodhoo, she's just a superstar, and I'd love to see her going to winning.
On the Ryanair Chase on at 4 o'clock, have you any ground-related concerns about Factifyle? I definitely hope he runs now, because we're at 8 runners and he is the star of the race. Plenty of money, as JD says, for John Bonn.
Yeah, John Bonn, he was a kind of a surprise inclusion, wasn't he, into the race? But look, it's interesting that he's going Factifyle. Interesting that he's going as well, because when he won the Irish Gold Cup, all the talk was that he was going to be supplemented for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And he saw it the 3 miles well at Leopardstown. Of course, 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs at Cheltenham is a whole different ballgame. But I keep on going back to last year, Johnny. Like, the performance that he put up in winning this race last year, it was probably the most impressive performance of the week and possibly of the season.
Yeah.
It was just, I watched it again last night. He just oozed class. He had the race in the bag from a long, long way out. He won by 9 lengths, but it could have been double that. So look, a repeat performance of that, and he was so good in the Irish Gold Cup as well. Look, he's a top class horse. I do like Empire Pass, though. He's been a little bit from left field, because when he won at Goran Park, they kind of said that he was going to entry, and then recently it emerged he's going to entry anyway, and then it's a case of whether he can go to Cheltenham or not. But a kind of an idea began to gain traction then that he was an entry horse, and it's true, he's won twice at entry, but he's also won for one at Cheltenham. He beat Gaelic Warrior in the Turner's Hurdle here a couple of years ago.
Impressively,
and he was very weak in the market before that race as well, if I remember. But his performance at Goran Park as well on his debut this season, it was very, very good. It was only a 4-horse race, but they went no pace. He was in behind. He had to quicken into a quickening pace, and he had to make his ground away from the stands rail over towards the inside of the track, which is, as we know, at Goran Park, that's not the best part of the track. And he did it really impressively. The fact that coming on here means that they think he's recovered from that enough to go and run a big race at Cheltenham and then go on to entry, because his owner, Simon Ayre and Isaac Swade, they do like to have runners and winners at entry, but he's coming here as well. And yeah, I think he's Factifyle's main danger.
Is Banbridge Factifyle's main danger, maybe, JD? The market will be with Don. I wouldn't have John Bonn as second favourite in the race. I can't have him around Cheltenham generally. He's probably the Tiopo of race in many respects. He's not quite top class. Never out of the first two. Brilliantly likeable horse. Today might be one of those days where he's unlikely to be in the top two.
Yeah. It's a remarkable career that he's had, John Bonn, and there's money for him, and he's, 10 years of age now, but he's had a great career here. He'll always give his running. And you see, I just don't know with this rain, because like I'm looking at the forecast here, rain is expected to start shortly. And like, how much rain are we going to get? Is the rain going to get into the ground here at all? It's hard to kind of weigh that up. So folks, I think if you're going to be, you almost want to be watching the first race and just keep looking at the conditions and see how quick the ground rides. Because Banbridge to me is a horse that wants good ground, but it just feels to me that Banbridge had a sparkling season. He won the King George, he won that 2 mile race in the Punchestown Gold Cup. Hasn't sparkled as well since for me. His jumping wasn't good in the Gold Cup last year. I don't know if there's a comeback story for Banbridge. And I kind of think that Don made a very good point about Empire Pass. I'm just disappointed, lads, that Factifyle has not run the Gold Cup. There's only one Cheltenham Gold Cup. It's 100 years old. He was such a great winner at Leopardstown last time out. I'd love to have seen the question asked whether he would stay the trip of 3.25 miles in the Gold Cup and in a wide open race tomorrow. I'm just disappointed not to see him there. I know it's a great race today. I know you should try and win. Give yourself your best chance of winning. And look, there is the question mark over his stamina, but I would just prefer to see him in tomorrow's race.
We'll stay with you, JD, for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, which commences proceedings at 1:20, and I've almost gone full circle here. I've ended up back where I began, and I actually, putting it all together, I do feel Bambino Fever is by far the most likely winner. And it's just, you know, when you're backing a horse, Old School Outlaw has beaten her at Naas, So you're thinking, has to be bet at 7-1. But there are worries about the ground. And I'm just, I never got the feeling she's going to be over well backed. There's so much confidence behind Bambino Fever. Tung Tai off the first time is quite interesting. And I would give a mention to Plastil De La Nacion, who was behind Old School Outlaw last time. I hope she's capable of better than that. She's about 33-1. But Bambino Fever wins, JD, does she?
Oh, I'm staying away from this. I mean, 22 runners in a mare's novice hurdle. And Bambino Fever, yes, on the form book, should win, but there's no non-runners in this race. Remember we had, was it the Gavin Cromwell horse last year, 6.5, was seen as an absolute banker for this race and was collared by Air of Entitlement, who won for Henry de Bramhead, who runs Echoing Silence in this race, might have an each-way chance. Like, I think there's better short price horses at the Cheltenham Festival than in a 22 runner race in Mare's Novice Hurdle that you want to be wading into if you're looking to have a bet. Look, Carrigmore's Bruce, I was there at Leopardstown when he beat Sortudo in a bumper a couple of years ago. And Declan Queenie, who I did speak to last week at Nice, said that she was off her head fresh after going down to the beach in Dungarvan for her prep for Cheltenham. And definitely think that might have an each way squeak, having run against the males, might be an easier assignment today. Does the ground, importantly, is not an issue for her. And I think about 9 or 10 to 1, she might be worth a euro each way. Like, it's interesting, Jack Kennedy riding for Tommy Cooper, Amen Cage at a big price. William Mullins has got a load of horses in the race, including a horse owned by Mrs. John Magnier and Brosnan Racing with Patrick riding it, future prospect. So, no, Harry Cobden actually rides that, doesn't he? Harry Cobden. And I do think it's interesting, the Harry Cobden bookings with Willie Mullins. If Willie Mullins is booking Harry Cobden, when he can now until the end of the season, until it all, maybe he'll be riding for JB McManus horses that are owned in Willie Mullins. But we saw with Kitzbühel yesterday how good a ride he gave that horse. And I think Harry Cobden riding for Willie Mullins is not a negative.
Well, the Harry Cobden, Mark Walsh riding Rangers in the Gold Cup tomorrow is beyond fascinating. The storyline writes itself there. But John, I'm looking at the four novice hurdles have had an average of 19 runners, if we include the Albert Bartlett decorations tomorrow. Phenomenal stuff. And even the Mayor's novice hurdle has a massive, massive field here. It's as simple as this, Don. You're either with us or you're against us. Are you in the Bambino Fever camp at even money, or do you layer at even money?
If you're not with us, you're against us. Yeah. I'm in John's camp. I think she's the most likely winner. I don't think she should be as far in front of Old School Outlaw as she is. Because, like, Old School Outlaw beat her the last day. And look, Bambino Fever is the champion bumper winner from last season. And she's the right favourite. But I think it's a way more open race than is suggested by the fact that there's an even money shot in it.
Okay.
Like John mentioned a few of them. Henry de Bromhead, he runs Echoing Silence. He runs Full of Life as well. He's got a brilliant record in the race. He had the 1-2 a couple of years ago. I was telling me something, girl, on Magic Days, finishing first and second. He had the winner last year, as John said. Her entitlement to Rachel Blackmore on board again. And they've both been trained for the race, Full of Life. She was jumping fences and she came back over hurdles. She won a race at Down Royal that has been a really good pointer to this race as well. So she's a massive prize. And Johnny, you mentioned Plastil De La Nacion. I think she's a player as well. Like, she ran a big race in the Triumph Hurdle last year. She finished fifth. Again, I had another look at that race last night. It was nothing to do last night. Just started watching back races. But she stayed on really well to finish fifth. Now, she's been a bit disappointed this season, but she won two kind of really ordinary races. And then last time she was well beaten by Old School Outlaw. But actually, she was right with her until the second last flight. And that was heavy ground.
Exactly.
I think back on better ground, back at Cheltenham, where she's proven, I don't think she should be a 33-1 or a 28-1 shot.
Great words from Don, one of the shrewdest judges in the game. We'll stick with you, John, for the two. Don, for the 2 o'clock. I like Slade's deal here. It's mad to think how difficult he's been for punters since he won the Supreme. I was talking to Dara O'Keefe after Navan the last day I was there, and it didn't feel like. I remember Dara felt disappointed on the day, but Don, that was 3 miles soft to heavy. Ultimately, he's run here off 146, and you never get the chance to back him at this sort of price. And that's kind of mug behaviour to be talking like that. But at the very least, he's 13-2 with Hills, might even be better on the show. Is he your selection, or is there something else you like?
Yeah, no, Slade Steele, yeah, I like him a lot, Johnny. He hasn't won yet over fences, but if you look back on his form, he's run 5 times over fences. He got beaten by Leckie Watson, who won the Brown Advisory Chase. He got beaten by Better Days Ahead, who finished third in the Brown Advisory Chase. And this season, he's had 3 runs. All three have been on heavy ground, and the one time he was running on kind of soft ground as opposed to heavy, he was brought down in a race at Punchestown won by Argento Boy, and Argento Boy then came out and won the Grade 3 race at Nace and didn't run badly yesterday, actually. But I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Back on better ground and back over the intermediate trip, like 2 miles, 4 furlongs, and also Cheltenham. Like, he's a supreme novice hurdle winner. It's a massive asset to bring back to Cheltenham, albeit over hurdles, but he jumps fence as well. And that was a big day when he won the supreme. He's rated 151 over hurdles in Ireland. He gets the race off a British mark today of 146, which is actually £3 higher than his Irish chase mark. He's 143 over fences in Ireland, but he's better than 146 rated horse. Like, he's a top class horse. He's a Grade 1 winner, and his conditions in his favour today. Yeah, I look, it's a good race. Jordan's Cross is in there. He won the race at Cheltenham, the time form race. That's always been a good pointer to this race. Regent Street, Regent Stroll, he's been campaigned for this. He's a bit of a free going sort, but this is his race. And Kisswell is in there as well. He's been pretty well backed for Willie Mullins. But no, I think Slade Steele, with Cocktail Divan, his stable companion, he ran in the Brown Advisory Chase instead of coming here. He was another well looking handicapped horse coming into the race, and he ran really well yesterday in the Brown Advisory Chase too. But I think as long as the rain stays away for another couple of hours, it's all coming together for Slade Steele.
Yeah, I thought you said Kitzbühel there. You said Kisswell, and Kitzbühel was one of the Bugsy Malone each way selections yesterday. So well done to Tom on that one. But Kisswell, definitely interesting. And, you know, I'm looking back as well, JD, at the only time this horse ran over 2.5 miles over hurdles was when he memorably beat Lecky Watson's Stellar Story and Better Days Ahead in a real gutsy performance in the Tara Hurdle at Navan in 2023. Do I sense we have the treble penalty here? Are you going to go with... Oh, here we go. Are you going to go with Slade Steele as well? A 7-1 shot and a handicap as your bet in this selection.
Well, Slade had... what's that song? The Christmas song.
I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Yeah. Is that it? We should be, what's this Slade song that had...
If Don McLean doesn't know the answer to a music question, we're all gone.
What is the... My head is so melted.
I wish it could be Christmas every day, no?
My head is so melted with controversies
Merry
here
Christmas,
that...
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry all Christmas, right. Everybody.
1973.
Slade, yeah. That's it, yeah. Well, Naughty Holder still living off the royalties.
My time, Jenny.
You know, fair play to him.
Just so, about done.
Slade Steele is my selection as well. I mean, the question I had about Slade Steele this morning, and he's in my charity bet at 8-1, is he in decline? And the way Bob Ottinger was turned back inside out by Henry de Bromhead to come and win the Stairs Hurdle as a 10-year-old last year suggests to me that he can bring horses back. And it just might be that Slade Steele has not shown his potential over fences yet, as Dom was saying there. And he's pretty lightly raced, and he's been running in smaller fields and or maybe the ground that he doesn't want. And if you think that the horse retains his ability, as a former festival winner in a Supreme Novices Hurdle, you have to think he's got an each-way chance today over a trip that I think will be optimum for him. So keep the fingers crossed. I was looking at Joe Tizard's horse in this race, and I looked at the comments that he thinks he's going to be a big horse for next season. That is Western Knight, number 14, about 28-1 shot. But in weighing it up, you're looking for the class angle. And, I mean, Down Mexico Way ran well, Zurich ran well, Cocktail Divan ran well for a long way. I mean, Henry de Bromhead will... be trying his damnedest, as will Rob Court, of a winner here, and hopefully it is Slade Steele.
Yeah, it was voted the number two, voted third behind Fairy Tale of New York, and I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day in the Nations, the UK Nations, favourite Christmas songs in 2012. And of course, Fairy Tale of New York, JD, brings in 18-1, which is the odds of Johnny Who somehow I tipped but didn't back on day one, which
it was
actually...
a disaster. There was a disaster.
Ah, seems.
Have you ever had that, lads, where you've had a horse that you are still a ghost to you that 20 years ago or 30 years ago that you should have backed and you didn't back? Mine is Zemski in the Kim Muir, or is it the Fox Hunters, 15 years. It was definitely 2011. Zemski at 33-1. It still causes me nightmares.
Don?
Mine is probably Sancho Vita in the Irish Derby, actually. I was there, went to back out 7-2. There was a queue or something, and I was small and young and didn't have the sense to stick around. But yeah, I watched him win.
You were always a gentleman, Don. I'm sure, you know, a more aggressive, belligerent, menacing type would have just gotten them out of the way. I want to back Sancho Vita.
More courageous punter, Johnny. More courageous. That's what I mean.
Okay, well, how is your courage for the penultimate contest? Is this just... Hashtag just back a Dan Skelton plot here, supremely West in the 440. I'm actually going with him. It just looks almost too obvious, but at the same time, in Dan we trust on.
Yeah, like we saw Madara the other day. He was a very similar kind of profile that Dan Skelton laid out for this, and he won doing handsprings. And you can see Supremely West doing the same thing. He got qualified for this when he finished third in the Chapman qualifier back in October. And I'm sure this has been the plan since he's read 135. He's actually £2 lower than he was when he qualified in October. And he's been backed over the last few weeks. So look, he's short. I like Bold Endeavor, actually, for Nicky Henderson, the same owners as Jinko Blue, won yesterday and won impressively. He's 10 years old now, but he finished fifth in the Carroll Cup. He finished fourth in this race off, I think, a £13 higher mark. And then he was with Laura Morgan at the start of this season. He had a couple of runs down the field. But his run at Huntingdon the last day was much more like it. That was his first run back after nearly a year. It was his first run back for Nicky Henderson as well. He's off a mark of 130 now. He's a stone lower than he was. And given that he's got good Cheltenham form as well. And even yesterday, when James Bowen won the big race on Jinko Blue, the whatever it is, the big handicap at BetMGM.
Yeah.
Lydia was asking him afterwards about, you know, looking forward, and our, the owner's looking forward to Django Bay and the Gold Cup. He said, don't forget about Bold Endeavour tomorrow. So I think this, again, he's been laid out. I'm sure this has been the plan for a long time. Nicky Henderson's having a great week, and he could be the one to put it up to Supremely West.
JD?
I respect Staffordshire Knot, and I think if Woodhoo wins, that would be a positive for Staffordshire Knot's chances with the yard. So Jack Kennedy rides that. I mean, I wouldn't be put off a top weight in a race like this. And you know, with the Michael O'Leary clutters, that sometimes they drift in the market. That's not necessarily a negative. But the one I'm going to go for is Yeah Man. I remember there's a day at Haydock a couple of years ago when Gavin Cromwell said Yeah Man, and I think now is the hour to win on the same day. And Yeah Man has lower hurdles mark than he's got a chase mark. And if there is any rain, that'll be definitely a positive for him, I think, to stay the 3 miles. Connor Stone Walsh takes three off. He's only got 10 stone six. And I think Gavin's horses are coming back into form. We saw Final Orders win yesterday. We saw Will the Wise be priced the other day. He's quite positive on another way you're thinking for the Gold Cup tomorrow. Gavin might be just striking it at the right time, and maybe Yeah Man could reach the frame.
I think you're right, and because we've wasted about 2 minutes looking up Christmas number ones, we've actually half run out of time. But JD, the Betting Exchange is struggling to split Jericho to Repney and Waterford Whispers in the nightcap. It's Jericho to Repney for me. Again, it looks quite obvious. I quite like this horse. Thought he's very good at Punchdown last year. What do you like?
And I would love to see, having back wing leader for years ago, and see him just agonisingly get pipped by Billaway in the Fox Hunters chase for Barry O'Neill. I'd love to see Barry, one of our greatest point jockeys in recent years, win his first Cheltenham race. He's on Prengard Artois, who likes good ground for Gordon Elliott. I think there's stable confidence behind it. I'm get my fingers crossed for Barry that he'll do it today in the Kim Muir chase, Prengard Artois. A race, remember, that Patrick Mullins has never won. He's on road to home. He desperately wants to win it.
And can he win it this year, Don?
I like Water Whispers in it. Johnny, like, he's short now, but if forced, I think he's the one. Back to track form. He ran a big race in the Martin Pipe here a couple of years ago. He finished second behind Better Days Ahead off a mark of 133. He's only £4 higher now, and if he'd been told then that he'd be running in a handicap at Cheltenham off 137, you'd be thinking he'll probably go and win that. He's got the potential to be much better than that, and he ran well in the Leopardstown Chase the last day to finish third behind Backmere Sackney. I think the step-up and trip should suit. Alan O'Sullivan takes the ride, claiming £3. Big value for his £3 claim.
Staying with you, Don, for the nap. I always used to say to trainers, you know, you're probably annoyed. Desi Hughes used to be kind of exasperated when you kept ringing him about O'Connor, or he'd be like, oh God, here we go. I was like, Desi, you'll be a lot sadder when, you know, people aren't ringing you about the horses. You don't have them anymore. People aren't even texting me on day three for a tip after yesterday. They're like, I'm done with Johnny Ward. But if anyone texts me today, it's Slade Steele as my nap. What's yours, Don?
Blade Steel as well, yeah. I think it's a good HRA race, and he's a whatever, 7-1 or thereabouts. I think that's a good HRA price, so I think he'll run well.
John, you are smiling over there.
This could be the shortest clip we're going to take for an off-the-ball digital sell of all time.
Never to be seen again.
It's the three amigos, it's the three musketeers here, folks, on the racing pod. My nap of the day, it's like the big reveal here, is Slade Steel at Cheltenham in the 2 o'clock as well.
Brilliant clip of the Larry Goodman doc at the end, where it's obviously like off air, and he's basically telling the person, now put in something nice about me. I think this clip will never ever be seen again, but if it is, we've just, the three of us have copped with Slade Steel. But it is time for your charity bets, JD.
Okay, got €200 to spend again with William Hill. We had Franciscan Rock yesterday, second at 50s, and we also had third place. I think Break My Soul was third at about 20-1. So, folks, if you want to get on to the Racing Pod Club, we've had a huge sign up already the last few days. You want to go to offtheball.com/racingpodclub to sign up and not only get Cheltenham tips, but exclusive podcast content in the future and a chance to win tickets to race days to possibly meet the great Johnny Ward or the great Don McLean. The €200 is going this way today, folks. 120 Carrick Moon is Spruce, 9-1 for 15 each way. The 2 o'clock say Slade Steel, as we mentioned, Slade Steel, 8-1, 30 each way is the nap. The 3:20 Honesty Policy, 20 each way, 15-2. Yeah, man, in the 440 at 20-1 for 10 each way, and Prengard Atois in the last, the Kim Muir 520, 11-1 in the market, 25 each way. Folks.
So here it is. Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Thanks to Don. Thanks to JD. It's only day three, guys. Gamble responsibly on the day and enjoy the greatest show on earth.
Thanks, guys.
Horse racing on Off the Ball with William Hill, giving this year's Cheltenham Festival an epic boost. Download the app. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.